And you were pushed to the brink. That's our hotline tonight, in addition to our open line calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Here's the number, 818-817-0021. Time now for my little traditional shout-out, by the way, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. You truly have made this one remarkable ride for all of us here. So those of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America, 545 of them, thank you so much. That's radio stations, not people. And also, Coast Insiders, thank you for everything you do. I hope you like the new Coast to Coast Mobile now for iPhone and Android. Have some fun with it. XM Talk 168, thank you too. And then the various chat rooms and groups all over the place. Fantastic Forum 2, and that's with the number 2. Hello to all you folks. Into Infinity, Imaginative Worlds, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC. How about the MySpace groups, the Facebook groups, and the Twitter groups, and the Yahoo chat folks, and the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and the Hollywood Ghost Hunters. Hello to all of you, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Keep cooking away, Gregory, and beat the weather. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back, and let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. First-time caller, Dev is with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Dev. Welcome.
Hey, George. Spectacular to finally talk to you.
I'm glad you got through. And I guess, Dev, that's short for Devin?
Devereaux.
Devereaux. How about that?
Uh-huh. Ashante. you know, you're talking about what brings you to the brink. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, what doesn't bring me to the brink these days?
But yeah, that's true.
Seriously. But you were telling the story earlier about having the out-of-body experience when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the same thing happened to me, except I was attacked by a dog, family dog, when I was 7. Shot up, out of the body, looking down, you know, how it goes. Come back down. Stayed with me my entire life. Will always stay with me.
Oh, my God.
I got older. Yeah. Got older. 13, 14 years old. Started buying books. Reading about it, you know, what happened, how did this, what was this? I was raised Catholic. They never said anything about this kind of stuff happening.
Right.
And so whenever anything brings me to like where I'm like, I can't take it anymore, you know, something's got to change. I think back to that and I'm like, you know, that happened for a reason. You know, it happened for a reason.
Oh, they always do.
Yeah, and I always draw strength from that, you know? So whenever I get to that limit, whatever's got me to the last straw, I always think, you know, that happened. So you
take a deep breath, a little sigh, and it gets you back down to reality,
yep,
doesn't it?
Exactly, 100%.
What happened to the family dog, by the way? I'm curious.
Actually, that was the second time he attacked me. The first time he attacked me, I was 2. bit my ear in 2. But he lived to be about 13 years old and died of a heart attack right in front of me, actually, as he was eating his dinner.
But your family kept the dog, huh? Most the families would have said, sorry, dog, you got to go.
Yeah. Well, the first time he attacked me, like I said, he was 2. I was 2. And then it happened years later when I was 7. He was a Dalmatian and a little bit nuts. But it was my dad's dog.
They should have, I guess, you know, when a dog starts to attack a human.
See, I've always wondered that, and I'm like, I have a daughter. If my dog attacked my daughter, that would be the end of that right there.
You'd have to. You definitely would have to move the dog out.
Take it, send it to a farm or something. I've always wondered why they kept it around, but, you know.
Whatever you
hear. But anyway.
Okay, well, thanks. Thanks for the story. Let's go east of the Rockies. Shandar in Tioga, North Dakota, is with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Shandar.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm working.
You're working? What are you doing?
Yes, I work up in the oil rigs, up in the oil fields.
You do?
Yep.
I bet you have some stories.
Oh, you know, it's not too bad. I sit in my truck all night signing people in and out, and that's about it.
That's your job, huh?
But that's
But it's a night job. So I hope this show makes your night go by quicker.
It does. It really does. It's really nice.
Cool. So, now, go ahead.
Well, what I want to ask you is your opinion on something that happens to me every now and then. I'll be laying in bed, and I'm at that point where I'm not quite awake, but I'm not quite asleep.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, my entire body will go completely stiff. I can't move. I can't scream. I can't open my eyes. And there's been times where I quit breathing. Have you heard anybody else talk about that and what it might possibly be? I've heard maybe it could be a night terror.
You have the classic sleep paralysis.
Okay.
I didn't hear you say anything about beans, entities popping in your room.
No. So no, that's a typical everyday thing for my house. That's nothing new.
No, you have the classic sleep paralysis, which is a god-awful feeling, let me tell you.
Well, it is. It's really scary. Sometimes I wonder if I'm not going to wake up.
That is scary. And then, you know, that just adds to things. Have you ever had a panic attack?
No.
Well, this is close to it. When you're frozen like that, you can't move. Or even if it's a second, it feels like it's hours, doesn't it?
Yes. And on top of it, I get like this really loud. The last time it happened to me, like I said, I'm used to my house. I have family members that come to my house, and I have a 3-year-old that plays with my sister that passed away on a daily basis. You know, so that's nothing new. But this last time it happened to me, I heard this like chanting with music in my ears, and that's never happened before.
Where'd the chanting come from?
I have no idea. Because my bedroom was completely quiet. There was nobody there that night, you know. They were wherever it is that they go. And it was like I heard this loud screaming and then like this chanting and this really weird music. And that was kind of what scared me and made me want to call in when I got a chance and find out your opinion on that.
Well, the chanting part, I don't know. But you definitely have the classic case of sleep paralysis. No doubt about that. Ray is in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Hey, Ray, welcome to the show.
Thanks. How you doing, Mr. Norrie?
Good, Ray.
Well, I got a bit of a situation. I was hoping maybe you've heard something or, you know, someone might have called in. I've only been listening to the show for, you know, about going on 2 weeks now.
Okay, well, fire away. Let's see what we can help you.
Well, it was actually last Saturday. A neighbor of mine, he's a retired military. He was stationed in Fort Bragg for 17 years. Like I said, retired staff sergeant. We moved in the subdivision about 7 years ago.
Okay.
He renewed his vows with his wife last Saturday. There was a bunch of people at his house, you know, military, high-ranking officers, stuff like that, all retired. Saturday evening, after everybody had left and everything, my floodlight came on, and I looked outside, and his RV was backing up to his house, and I felt, you know, that was strange, and he was probably up to 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, which got me started listening to your show, and the following morning, he walked next door to see what was going on. I didn't know if him and his wife had a fight or whatnot, because he was drinking that evening.
And you're close enough. You were close enough where you could do that, right? Some neighbors, you can't even walk over next to them.
Right. This is a big military subdivision. I mean, I was in the military 2 years, but I work at furniture store now. But anyway, I walked over it, and you know, he was loading up a trailer on the back of his RV.
Okay.
And he had all sorts of freeze-dried foods, everything. Didn't think anything of it. Thursday, I had seen him again, and he came to me, or I actually walked over to him and asked him what he was doing. He says, well, I'm moving to Missouri. And I didn't really know what was going on. He told me, you know, the best advice he could give me was to go west of the Mississippi. I didn't know. I mean, he's leaving. He's actually leaving tomorrow, was today now, but he's leaving, you know, sometime today.
He's coming to Missouri. He's coming to our neck of the woods here.
He's moving to Missouri. He's renting a house, or I guess he's renting a house in Missouri, taking his wife and his two boys with him. And, you know, he told me pretty much for me to get out and you know, leave the East Coast and get across the Mississippi.
What does he think is going to happen?
I have no idea.
He wouldn't elaborate on that, huh?
No, and this all started, you know, like I said, last Saturday. I don't know what to think. That's why I was calling.
Well, Ray, did he have a look of concern or panic on his face?
No.
Not nothing.
Normal to me.
Maybe he's just moving.
My problem is, he said, I asked him why he was moving, and he said, you know, my best advice to you is for you to get across the Mississippi and get away from the East Coast.
Huh. Well, you know, let me tell you, there are groups of people who believe certain things could happen, and they're taking precautions, whether they're right or not, and he might be one of them, Ray. So, you know, I haven't heard. If you're asking me if I've heard anything about any potential danger on the East Coast, I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I would not panic. I wouldn't flee or anything like that. I will say that the meteorologists are predicting a heavier hurricane season this year. And, you know, maybe that's what he's concerned about. But he's moving into an area that gets hit by tornadoes and earthquakes. So, you know, you can't escape. You can't escape this stuff. Let's go to our Push to the Brink line. Josh is with us, Everett, Washington. Hey, Josh, what pushed you to the brink?
Hi, George. First of all, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My pleasure. Well as being on the brink, I'm also a first-time caller. I've been listening to your show for a long time.
Good.
Well, leading up to the brink, it's about my ex-wife. You know, her entire family. I lived in my house for 3 years, rent-free. Basically, everybody just kind of sucked off of us. You know, I had 9 people living in my house for...
Holy, 9
for
people?
For a little while, yeah.
Brothers, you know, sisters, her mom, dad, all these people?
Right, no brothers. Sister with kids, mom, dad, you know, chain-smoking.
You know, did they help you out with the payments?
No, nothing.
Oh.
No, and you know, up to the year, the very end, the bitter end.
you could only take so much. Jeez.
Right, and you know, they ended up taking about $36,000 out of a real estate deal that I, you know, we had sold our house, and they had half of the profit directed into a separate account, trying to tell me that it went towards an attorney for selling the house. I was in real estate, so.
Well, how did they pull that off? How did they get their mitts on it?
Well, the company that I worked for, it sold us the house, which was, the company was owned by a family friend. And when they sold the property, the family friend is also, you know, it's a close-knit group of people. But they have, you know, attorneys at their disposal. It was a foreclosure business. And the money went towards some fake account.
Whose money? Your money?
Well, the $36,000 out of the real estate deal. You know, I ended up seeing 32 of it and the other 36.
You mean when you sold it?
Right.
Okay.
You know, it actually went towards, it was legal because she was part of the sale.
Buyers? Who were the buyers? Your ex-wife was the buyer?
No, my ex-wife and I sold the house. The buyer was just a random person.
Oh, just a random person. Okay.
Yeah, but that's not even, that was just part of it. Leading up to, in the end, you know, after discussing, you know, putting everybody out of the house, and I guess she couldn't take it anymore, and she ended up spending a lot of time with the girls. And she turned. She's now a lesbian. And I, you know, I was forced to stand there and watch my cars being dragged out of the driveway and lost my house and everything else.
You were too nice a guy, Josh. You let them stay way too long.
Well, yeah, and they all scattered like cockroaches in the end. But, you know, the thing is, I moved on. I went out and started another family. she and I, you know, were able to salvage some sort of a, you know, we were married for a little while and we had a child together. So.
Oh, yeah. And you want to stay friends. You know, you don't have to be bitter.
Well, we're not friends anymore. There is, unfortunately, some bitterness now. She got a little upset. She wanted more money, more money, more money, more money every month. And, you know, she was maintaining that party lifestyle that kind of goes along with the lifestyle.
Well, that ends after a while. You don't have to pay maintenance forever, do you?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have to pay anything anymore. The whole community, basically, like I said, I had a whole other family. I was paying her twice what I was supposed to pay her every month to take care of my son.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any money to really fight with her. And, you know, apparently the gay community is very large. She got a free attorney, a good attorney. And basically they just nailed me. They kind of handed my butt to me in court.
So you were pushed to the brink. You don't sound like you're at the brink anymore.
Well, I was, sort of. I mean, it really tore up my family. And the thing that really that's pushing me is it opened up my eyes to a whole new, I guess, wave. It's something that's happening quite a bit. A buddy of mine, his wife, just kind of turned on him and kidnapped the kids, and she took off. And
Jesus.
So they're living with her girlfriend, and it's not something that you just can't include.
Well, let me tell you, Judge, a lot of people are going through a lot of different changes right now. But, you know, here's the other thing. Even though I know you're bitter, don't, you know, attack the gay community over this episode that happened to you. Because that is really, you're dealing with really two different things. Though that may have happened to her, that doesn't mean the community in general is bad at all. As a matter of fact, I know some people who are gay and they are absolutely wonderful human beings. I mean, they're some of the, you know, warmest, friendliest people I've ever known. And, you know, don't let this episode, make life so bitter for you that you know, you think all of them are evil and they're out to get you and everything else. You know, you're going to have good people and bad people in every walk of life. And, I mean, don't go through life with that because you'll be on the brink for that for the rest of your life. Let's go to Paul in Snowflake, Arizona. You're up with us. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how are you tonight?
I'm doing okay. What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to relate to you a story that happened in 1986.
Okay.
Very, very, very close friend of mine. We were both down. It was the Arizona prison that's been there since the 1800s. It was a fort. It's called Fort Grant. And I'm sure there's some guys there sitting there tonight listening to you.
Sure.
And me and my very good friend, every night before they would close this yard, it was a minimum security yard. There was no fences, really, but just one little 4-foot wall that would go around this whole fort. And back in the 1800s, the cavalry that was out there, they used to have little battles at the west end of this wall with the Indians, the native Indians of that area. And there was a lot of violence that went on down at Fort Grant. I mean, a lot of people were killed. And anyway, when me and my brother Jerry would walk around, we would take one lap around this place every night before they closed the yard down. One evening, we were walking down there by that west end of
the
wall.
Hold on right there, Paul, because we're at the break. We're going to get you to talk about this area when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Coast to Coast AM may be the only syndicated program that is live 7 nights a week. I'm pretty sure it is. And on our Saturday show, look forward to Ian Punnett. Glynis McCants is going to join him for a little bit. And then also he'll be talking about the mind of a murderer. Weird stuff there. And on Sunday, George Knapp joins us with a discussion with Whitley Strieber. Whitley's new book is called The Key. Find out what happened when a strange man shows up unannounced to warn Whitley about mankind. We'll be back in a moment with final open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to Paul west of the Rockies in Snowflake, Arizona. Paul, sorry, the break got you. So let's go back and let you tell us the story again.
All right. I'll recap it for you, George.
Sure.
Like I say, this is a prison that's in Arizona. It's in middle Arizona there, and it's been there since the 1800s. It used to be an old cavalry fort. And a lot of violence went on there, a lot of killing. And every night before they would close the yard down, me and my friend would take a lap around the place, and we were walking down by the western wall of this place, a little four-foot wall down there. And we were just talking about the events of the day, what was going on. Me and him used to hang together pretty tight and work together. We were talking about work or something like that. And then all of a sudden, George, we both gasped like the air had been knocked out of us. You ever had that feeling like the air has been knocked out of you?
Oh, yeah.
It's just an incredible feeling. And there was no wind. There was nothing. There was no storm or nothing that would produce that, you know, and all, we just both went, and we looked at each other, and I just felt like something had ran right through us at both at the same time, you know. And my question was, and I wonder about it all these years later, did it run through us or did it run into us?
Or both.
Well, that night, George, when we went to bed, we looked at each other and we talked to each other. And that night, I knew as a young man that there was something else right here in this world that we cannot see.
That is still
here with us.
Did you notice if the temperatures dropped a little bit in that area?
You know, it always did kind of feel kind of chilly down there. There was, like I say, there was a lot of battles. I feel like, and now that I reflect on it, that it felt like something that was really mad.
Oh, yeah.
And it felt like something that was angry, you know, that ran through us, you know, or into us. It was.
Well, and this is where you were lucky, Paul, because had you been in a state of mind where you were weak mentally,
yeah,
this thing could have possessed you, could have gotten into you and stayed in you.
Oh yeah. I don't feel like that. It was that we were both very strong. We were very close to getting out, and we were in good spirits, you know, and very determined to stay on our path of righteousness that we were on. Been happy to say that we've been out for 25 years now, and I still know this man. I see him every week. I play music with him, and we still, every once in a while, we tell this story to each other just to confirm it with each other that it really did happen. Yeah, you know?
But that's great.
That was a weird night at Fort Grant.
Good story. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, George. Bye bye.
Good story. Let's go to Tom. Text message back in L.A. What do you got for us, Tom?
Hey, George. DJ from Massachusetts. I'm 47, and I want to start using natural supplements. George, can you name a few I should start with?
I will love it. Let me tell you. First of all, turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, with curcumin. Make sure you get that. That reduces inflammation, helps your arteries, by the way, because of calcification, which is inflammation. Turmeric, I love it. Vitamin K2, I think it's great. A good multiple vitamin, got to take one of those. Bromelain, I take that. I also take arginine. That's very good for you. It dilates your arteries. And, you know, everything I tell you, make sure you go online, read up on it. I want to make sure they're okay for you. And there's a few other things that I take. I take cayenne pepper in a capsule form. Also fish oil. That's a necessity. I'm into the homocysteine, which is the vitamins, you know, folic acid, B12, B6 with cysteine as well. And the TMG, which is, another amino acid I take. I do that every day.
You take them every day.
You know, you've seen me in my office in the LA. I've got all these supplements everywhere, and I try to take green juice. I try to drink that every day in a powdered form. That's very good for you. Balances your pH level, which is critical. And I just keep at it. And I got to tell you, I think the results, Tom, you've seen me. You've seen me and you've known me over the last 8 years. You know, if you looked at the old me and the new me, pictures look different, don't they?
Big time. You've dropped a ton of weight.
Yeah, and the supplements and everything else. So that's what I do.
Well, I remember learning about the supplements partly from Christian, and I don't miss them either. I mean, I was talking to Robin last night. I'm going to start bilberries.
Well, bilberry is good for you, especially if you have trouble with night vision. It's very, very good. As a matter of fact, the old pilots in World War II, they were given bilberry jam to eat to help them at night because they had trouble seeing.
Man, put it on bagels.
Yeah, be very good for you.
Hey, George, real quick, happy early Father's Day. I know you've got some great kids, so I wanted to wish you that.
Yep, kids are going to come over. We're going to do a little dinner, and, you know, they've all got other places. Like my son is married, so he and his wife got to go see their folks, too. And that, you know, that's part of family stuff, but I'm going to see them all. And it's one of the good parts about being able to travel all over the place.
Very nice. We'll see you.
Okay, that's Tommy. Next up, let's go to our Push to the Brink line, Doug in St. George, Utah. Hey, Doug, what happened to you?
Hey, George. First of all, let me give you a compliment. Of all the, I've listened to talk radio in every state in the United States, daytime, nighttime, anytime, and you are absolutely the best interviewer I have ever heard.
Well, thank you.
One radio talk host in Atlanta, Georgia, used to have a morning program. Used to always talk about the Blue Ribbon Cafe. He was pretty good, but you're great. You're great. And, you know, Art Bell was very good, but Occasionally Art would get a little abrasive with a caller. You have the patience to deal with these wackos like me. And then, on top of that, you ask these insightful questions that just stimulate such great conversation with the people you're interviewing.
And let me mention a little technique that I have, Doug, and then we'll get into why you were pushed to the brink here. I when I go on speaking engagements, or once in a while, somebody will come by and say, God, I love your shows. I love your interviews. But sometimes you ask these guests the most off the wall question. Why do you do that? And let me tell you a little secret of what I've learned about interviewing with people. Sometimes a guest will come on the air and they are as stiff as a board. You know, they'll answer questions with yes or no. And you can't draw anything out of it. So a little technique I use is I try to humanize them. I try to let them feel as if, you know, between me and them, it's a conversation. And most of the time it works. And in so doing, I'll throw a stupid question at them like, so did you play baseball when you were a kid? And, you know, it may sound like it comes out of left field, literally. But it really loosens them up. And after I told that person that at a conference, they went, God, that makes a lot of sense. But anyway, what pushed you to the brink?
You're a master at it. You're a master at it. Oh, well, here it is. Pretty simply, state, local, and federal employees, they just drive me nuts. I'm a contractor, and we go in to permit. And the permitting people, they take their good time, even though they're doing absolutely nothing. Construction's down. There's nothing going on. If they want to give you a permit that day, they will. If not, they'll wait until they're ready to give it to you. And then they come by and they ask these asinine questions about what you're doing on the job site. And they feel like you're an idiot, although you're the contractor. You're building this and you're serving your customers, but they treat you like you're an idiot. And they are the only ones that have the right answers for all the issues you'll deal with on a project. But the thing that really pushed me over the edge, my daughter was an assistant coach on a volleyball program
at
a small college. And the coach was verbally and very lightly sexually abusing her. And he finally got the courage to go to the athletic director and reported it. They had reports previously about this head coach, and so they fired him. And they promoted her to what they termed as acting head coach to the end of the season. And they told her that if you perform well and everything goes good, you've got a good shot at being the head coach. So she got this promotion before a weekend tournament that happened to be in California. And then she went down and coached the team to a really good record at the weekend tournament, beat the number 14 team in the nation at the time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, came back, and on Monday morning, she got a phone call from the athletic director and said she was fired.
What?
And then they turned around and hired the head coach back.
Oh.
And so I went, like a good father, I guess. She just said, you know, let's just let it go. I don't want to work with people like that anyway. So I said, no, 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 we're going to find out what went on here. So I contacted the athletic director, and he said, okay, I need to get with you and talk with you because there's some things that we found out about that you need to be told. So I said, okay, I'll meet with you at 9 o'clock. Well, I got a call before 9, and he said, no, you know, I can't meet with you. You're going to have to take your complaint to the human resources department. And first of all, you can't speak for her because you're her father. So I went and sat in the lobby of the president's office and met with the president. He brought somebody in the room with him, and I explained the story to him. And I got this typical government employee response, you know, and you got to do what's best for the organization and da-da-da-da-da. And he said, but I'll tell you what, you send your daughter in just to meet with me, and I'll meet with her and hear her side of the story. So I set the appointment up for the next day. My daughter goes in, and the president didn't show up.
He didn't show. Jeez.
Had her meet with two ladies from the university. She told the story. They wrote her a nice letter and said, you know, we appreciate it, you know, but there are circumstances that can't be revealed because of human resources and this and that and the other. So I went to one of the attorneys that works for the attorney general's office. And at first he was, yeah, we've had some complaints. We've had some problems with this guy, you know, and some of the things he's done with some of the girl players and so forth. And he's broken violations and stuff. Blah, 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 blah. Gave me all this blah, 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 blah stuff. Then he talked with a couple of people at the university, and he calls me back, and he says, well, you know, I've interviewed people, and it appears that everything's fine, so I can't discuss it anymore because you're her father. You're not.
Unbelievable. They ganged up on her. That's what they did.
And so I asked him. I called his handler, and I said, well, you know, you never interviewed my daughter. He said, well, just have her call me sometime, and I'll talk to her about it. And I'm like, well, you know what? You're investigating this for the state. You need to talk with her. You need to talk with her.
Either that coach has something on all these other people.
That's what.
Or they merely just believed him over your daughter after a while, like a good old boys network. That's unfortunate.
Well, I tried to go to the attorney general's, and you know how many gatekeepers they got up there. I never could get to them, so I finally just dropped my door and said, you know, it's not worth it.
I wish she had taped the guy doing what he did. You know, like secretly, well, she would have had some evidence.
Well, they had plenty of complaints filed on him.
Well, she would have had one heck of a settlement with that
problem. Who left the program because she couldn't get anyone at the school to back her up. She's now been hired as the head coach.
Oh, that's disappointing, you know.
But anyway, that's what drove me to the brink, and you know, I've finally come to the conclusion that maybe these are shape changers and so forth.
You anyway, never know.
Let's
all right,
really,
Doug.
Really enjoy your program, and I just love the interviews, and I've been listening for God knows how long. Seems like 20 years, but maybe not that long. But you've been fantastic, and I applaud you for your efforts.
You have a great weekend. Have a good Father's Day, okay? And enjoy the weekend. And all you fathers out there, have a great Father's Day as well. You know, it's not easy bringing up children. It wasn't easy back in my days. It isn't easy now. And as you remain a parent, it's still not easy because you're their father through thick or thin, and you always got to be there. And no matter what their age is, daddy's got to be there. That's the name of the game. And here's our buddy. He's always here for us on Friday night.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling, Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night. And I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I coast to coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.